Welcome to Kick Back with Chris. Kick Back with Chris, the martial arts podcast.
Brought to you by www.mitmaster.com.
So, for a change of time, we're going for a Wednesday afternoon this week instead of a Tuesday evening. We just fancied a time change, didn't we, Matt?
Not quite. I was deep in the new series Shogun and totally forgot that I was meant to be having a chat with Chris.
Yeah, I'm totally forgettable, to be fair. I mean, if I had to choose between Shogun and me, I mean, I would go with Shogun every time.
It's pretty good, it is a pretty good series. So I just was watching back-to-back episodes of that, and then Chris was like, when should we do this week? I'm like, oh no, I've missed it.
Yeah, I must be honest in that I did let that slip. Like, I thought, I'm sat here, we should be recording now. And I thought, well, he's obviously busy because he doesn't usually forget. It's usually me that forgets. I could bother him or I could just sit here and enjoy the silence.
So, yeah, he had a bit of a rest as well.
I went for sitting in silence for a good 40 minutes. And then went home early for a change.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, so it all works out in the end.
It all worked out in the end. So I've been, keeping up on Facebook, as you do. And I noticed that it's a certain anniversary for you, isn't it? Is it today or is it this week or is it?
I think it was today or yesterday. Yeah, I'll check. But yeah, very recent. Yes.
And what was that?
6 years, according to Facebook. This might be totally wrong, but
of course, Facebook's always right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. 6 years since I taught my last class at my martial arts school and rode off into the sunset to be an internet marketer.
In your pants.
In my pants, that's right, yeah. So that was weird having that flash up because that's a weird mix of memories, obviously.
I would imagine that many poops were being bricked at that time, weren't there? Because that must have been a scary time.
Yeah. Well, I kind of set it up so it wasn't too scary. I didn't just go, right, I'm going to try something else and someone martial arts school and then just go like with no income. So what I'd been doing is the previous 3 years to selling the school, I'd been building up the online business, the mitmaster.com, to the point where it was making roughly about the same amount of money that I was taking from the martial arts school. And it kind of, I recognized that. I was like, oh, I'm earning about the same as I'm earning from the school. And that kind of planted a little seed in my head about, so do you want to, like, which direction are you going to take this? Are you going to keep doing both together, which is quite tiring, teaching 10, 15 hours a week of classes, 10, 15 hours of privates, and then creating a load of online content and editing it and uploading it and all that jazz? Or are you going to just make the move and kind of leave the school? So after a lot of thinking and a lot of, like, because that's all I've done, I've never had any other type of job. All I've done is teach martial arts.
Yeah, and a lot of people can relate to that.
Well, no.
I can relate to the whole never having another job. I mean, literally, I worked in a sports shop. I worked in a little newsagents for a while, stacking beer. And I never touched the till because I didn't ever have the guts to tell the guy I couldn't count. just don't let me know your till, mate. It won't balance out, seriously. But I can stack beer. I'm all right with that. I'll stack it. Yeah, I did that on the side for a little bit. And then I kind of went into teaching straight away. So that's all I've ever done.
Yeah.
Can totally relate to that. I don't know. I often think, what would I do?
Yeah, it's a bit scary. You're like, ooh, what if this online stuff doesn't work out? What am I going to do? I'm going to have to start. So, because at that point, our school was about 400 members. So it's like, that's a lot of people to kind of stop teaching. It's a lot of revenue to stop bringing in. It's, if I had to start again, I'd have to start with a class in a church hall and 5 people. So it was a bit scary. I was a bit like, ooh, but I kind of felt like I was due a change because I'd been doing 19 years of teaching full time at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I'm going to regret if I don't actually go for it and try and make it work. I'm going to regret it in the long term. I can always know that I can open a martial arts school and get a few students quite quickly. And because my marketing skills were all right, I could always start again from the beginning if I needed to. So
yeah.
I messaged my business partner and friend and said, I'm out. I'm going to sell you the school and set all that process in, you know, into
interesting
action.
Stuff. Yeah. You know, usually on these podcasts, aside from talking bollocks, we do get feedback from people to say how much we're helping them with their school, and this has helped in that. And people occasionally message, and I'm sure you get a lot of as well, asking for advice on different things. But you know, it's fair to say that I think the majority of what we talk about is, you know, real situations in my school and in other people's schools actually running day to day and about keeping them open.
Yeah.
But there will be people out there, and it will happen to all of us out of choice or maybe not, unfortunately, where there'll come a time where you'll have to consider either wrapping things up or, you know, passing it to somebody else. And what are you going to do next? So I think that's definitely worth a conversation, especially as you've done it as well, you know?
Yeah.
So if you, you know, if let's say I was going, Matt, you know, been teaching what full time 22 years now, and I need to get out. What would you say to me? What would you say? how would I get out of it? What would be my options?
Well, you're going to need another source of income unless you've been very smart during the last 22 years
and
built up other assets that will bring you revenue.
I'm a martial arts instructor. That's not the sort of thing you do.
So, yeah, I mean, you're going to need, another source of income. What on hindsight, what I should have done is maybe sold part of my business, you know, and taken a lesser role within the business, but had some backup income coming in, you know. So maybe I would, instead of being the co-owner of the business, I would take a role as a marketing manager or something, and the business would pay me 1500 quid a month, and I would not be teaching, but I'd be doing the marketing for the business, and that would be some steady income coming in. So you don't have to do what I did, which was throw my toys out the pram and jump. You can, you know, do a graduated sort of exit, or you can take a different role within the business. Instead of being the chief instructor, head instructor, person on the mat, you can take more of a management role. But that's usually not that exciting for instructors, because they don't really like managing people. So those are some options. But yeah, unless you've got that other revenue stream there, which luckily I'd built up at that point, it's quite hard to just make the jump. And I think also, if you've been doing it such a long time, you're probably unemployable, right?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I often think, you know, just from time to time, I'll be sitting and I'll go, what actually would I do if I didn't do this? I mean, I've got some school certificates for qualifications somewhere. I couldn't tell you where they are. I've got some GCSEs, and I think I've got some A-levels. In what? I couldn't tell you. And I couldn't tell you what grades they were. Not that I would feel that they're overly irrelevant, you know, overly relevant what 16-year-old me was doing, you know, when nearly 45-year-old me is going for a job. But
yeah,
it's still relevant, isn't it? What would I do? I mean, how would I sell myself? I mean,
and also, how could you cope with being told what to do all the time? Because this is the one amazing advantage of running your own business, is that you're in control of kind of your own destiny. You're in control of your own time and effort. So I couldn't go to a place where they say you need to be sat at this desk at 9 a.m. And you can't take your lunch until 1 p.m. and you're not allowed to have an afternoon nap. All of these things that, you know, regular folk have to deal with, couldn't handle it. I'd literally go crazy. So yeah, I think you need some sort of other source of income coming in. So there are people out there in the martial arts industry who have done it right, as I would see it, as in they've used the income from their martial arts school to purchase assets, and assets being defined as something that generates revenue for you, which could be property, commercial property, other businesses, etc. And they have this other revenue stream that's coming in. And when that gets to the point where it's equal to what they're earning from their martial arts school, in theory, they could make an exit at that point.
Yeah.
But they are rare. Like, most martial arts instructors don't think like that. They're not thinking long term, and they're not thinking about building and you know, assets and things like that. They're just enjoying kicking and punching people, which is the fun bit.
Yeah, it is, until things start breaking. And falling off. You know, you just have to trust your gut, I suppose. I mean, I don't think it can't be coincidental that I've got to 44 and I've been teaching more than half my life, that I have now, between sort of 2018 is when something changed, and I had the itch to, as you know, because I came on one of your courses, I had the itch to create an online course. I had another itch to start a podcast, and it can't be coincidental that all these ideas started to pop up at that sort of time. I think something in my subconscious was probably saying, look, come on, you got to have a plan B and a plan C here, because plan A of teaching 4-year-olds until the day you die, which hopefully is many, many years from now, is, it's not. I mean, for some people, they might be able to do that, but for me, I no. Yeah. I'm able to put that. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I mean, I still do enjoy it, but do I enjoy it as much as I did at 21 and 22? No. You know.
And also, I mean, you don't want to necessarily, you want to choose the people that you have to teach, right?
Yeah.
If you are the type of instructors where it's like, it's my way, the highway, there's only one way of doing it, I'm not taking on staff, I don't need any help and support, you're going to be, teaching, like you say, a 4-year-old when you're 76, and and that sounds all right when you're 36 and you have the spare energy, the spare time, your body's not broken, you're not, dealing with illness or anything. But I think as you age, you do realize, okay, time is ticking, health is, a priority, and you just want to spend your time doing the things that you really enjoy. So at that point, most instructors build a team, but they're not the best at managing the team, because they tend to be a bit control, a bit overly controlling, a bit micromanagey. So often that team falls apart, and then they often at that point they go, right, well, screw it, I can't rely on anyone else, so I'm just going to do it all myself again. And they get stuck in that loop again until they realize they need a team, and then they try and get a team in. So it's a tough one. I know so many instructors plus 60 who are kind of struggling along alone, like just trying to do their best, but it's got harder and harder for them.
So definitely,
I think you do need to make a plan. So for me, the business was doing well and it was generating plenty of revenue, but I didn't really understand property or things like that. I didn't think it was quite as easy as you see on the Facebook ads to just buy a property
I know,
for no money down and stick people in it and make a load of money. So I kind of thought, what am I passionate about, what am I good at, and what could be a potential business I could create around that? And then the whole online thing started to take off massively, and that was the direction I went for trying to build an asset that continues to make you money. So that's the advantage of the online. Once the money was equal to the business, I thought, let's just do it. I'm young enough. I can always start again. I think that's another thing. Like when you're, so I sold my martial arts school to my friend when I was about 42. Yeah, 42. So I still had a bit of energy. I still had a bit of, so I could always rebuild. If the whole online thing fell apart, I could always start another school, get to 100 members relatively quickly and rebuild. So I think, if you're of that age, you probably want to be starting to think about how do I exit? Like, what's my plan for exiting the business? Is it to stay in it, manage it? Is it to pass it down? I know a lot of instructors have family in it, so is it to pass it down to family and they continue to pay you for the business? Is it to sell it? So I sold mine, everything. So, you know, sold my half of the business, the intellectual property, all of that, because I wanted like a clean break. But I wouldn't necessarily recommend doing that. But that's what I decided to do.
Yeah, so, I was, I mean, I was around that time, that 2018 mark, I remember. I don't get me wrong, I hadn't just woken up one day in a massive sulk and gone, right, no, sod this, can't be bothered anymore. I just knew that, you know, I needed to get the course. I was still physically able to do the stuff I wanted to do, but I knew that wasn't going to last forever, which thank God, you know, I did, because there's a lot of stuff in those videos now that I can't do anymore. So I'm glad that I got, that's just being honest, you know, I'm glad that I got that those videos done. Because I had a lot of hair then as well, which is also quite cool to look back on.
It's funny to look at yourself, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't think you've changed that much. And then you look at it and go, Christ, I was about 3 kilograms lighter and had a lot more hair.
Yes, very true.
And my voice was oddly higher pitched as well. what gives there? That's weird. Anyway, it was around that time when I started thinking, I want to get on with this on, oh no, jump on this online thing. You know, there's more people starting to do it and stuff. And I was, I don't know, I didn't really see where my school was going to be in, say, 5-10 years' time.
Yeah.
And it was around that time that my son started showing interest. And it shifted from like, you know, I want to have an exit plan to a, oh, I want to keep this going long enough so that if he wants to take over, he can.
That's nice.
Which he started now saying he wants to. He's like 15, 15 and a half, coming up 16.
Cool.
Then it opens up another box because he's very, he won't listen to this, he won't know, but he's very, he's very academic, unlike his dad. I wasn't stupid, but I wasn't academically inclined. I would much rather have been training and playing basketball and whatever else.
Yeah.
Whereas he does, he's not like me. He finds maths incredibly easy. And so I'm like, you know, do I want him to go straight into the business when he's old enough? Or do I want him to go off and get some life experience and some, you know, qualifications? And it's difficult because I look and go, you know, it's nice. It's the romanticizing part of it of, you know, oh, it wouldn't be nice, you know, if he took over the school and carried on running the full-time school. Yeah, but it would probably be a whole lot more financially satisfying for him to go off and train to be an accountant or, you know, to do something like that if that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. I suppose the answer to that is I keep it running another 4 years longer and then get him trained as an accountant and then come and work for me.
that's a fair point, isn't it? Because you, like, if he goes straight from school into running a martial arts school, he's going to learn a whole load of useful stuff to do with business, marketing, you know, customer service. But he's not going to develop the skills that would help him get a job if, you know,
all the bits of paper. Later,
a few years later, he decides it's not for him. But conversely, for you, you might be thinking, great, 4 more years and the son can take over. I can take my money from the business. He can take his money from the business and I can just teach the classes I want to teach and drink tea and dunk biscuits. But let's say he goes down the accountancy route and he absolutely loves it and then decides, right, Dad, I can earn more being an accountant.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'm not doing the martial arts anymore. You'd be gutted yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's part of your exit plan, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm not putting all my eggs in that basket at all because, you know, And to be honest, you know, as I all know all too well recently, you know, I don't know if I'm just something's going to fall off and just make that decision for me and go, right, well, I can't actually do this now the way I was doing it. So I am going to have to change something. I am going to have to do something else, which is, you know, in all honesty, everybody listening out there, this is why I'm pushing the podcast as hard as I am. It's why I'm not pushing the online stuff as hard as I can. I should do that more. I know I should. And we always have these conversations. Then I go and do it and I come back and go, I have sold some. And you're like, yeah, it's because you're pushing it. But I have got that package sat there. It's that content's there, it's filmed, it's ready. So, you know, when I'm maybe in that place in my head, and I want to go, right, let's do this. I can.
Well, that's the whole point. It's an asset that you can put back out into the world and start selling immediately without having to go for the whole process of recreating it or doing the work. So anytime you want to push it, you can push it and start selling it again. But like you say, the podcast is probably more potential, I would say, for growth and sponsorships and marketing and being its own thing and generating a bit of revenue. So
I've just got to make sure that I don't screw up this presenting gig at this martial arts show in September.
How could you screw it up? You can do an Alan Partridge like freak out thing on stage.
Drive off to, where does he drive off to? Edinburgh or wherever it is, and he eats Toblerone barefoot in his car. He does that, doesn't he? I know what you're saying, but I've got to just make sure that, you know, these opportunities, I make the most of them, because it's a, you know, I'm selling the brand, aren't I? I'm selling the podcast. On the day I'm doing a job and I'm promoting sort of the podcast brand. Because there's going to be loads of, it's target market. There's going to be hundreds of people there that probably never, don't know who I am, never seen the podcast, heard it in their life.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be stood there going, hey, you know, this is my podcast. Because, you know, of course, and I'm also going to do that.
Are you doing things like interviews, behind the scenes stuff?
Right. Yes. Yeah, that's
going to be good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's good because I'm not nervous about standing and talking. That's never bothered me. I think I'm more nervous about getting it right. Not the talking part, the logistics of planning everything, making sure I get the right people at the right time. Stuff like that. You know, that's the bit that I'm, because it's not one of my strengths. It's coordinating things. It's not blagging stuff. I'm brilliant. I can blag anything. I'm really good at blagging, but I'm not really good at organizing. Thank God I've got many months to sit down and plan it all. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Which Southwest Martial Arts Show is it?
That's the one. They're going to let us both on the stage at the same time at some point, I'm hoping.
Oh, we're going to talk bollocks in front of people, yeah?
Yeah, totally.
All right, sounds good. Let's do it.
Talk show Saturday.
I think I'm teaching a seminar at that. That event was very, very good last time. Just a beautiful space. I hope they're using the same space, because it was...
It's a different venue this time.
Because that venue... was so light.
It was nice.
Yeah. And nice, wasn't it? It's like, ooh. Because most of them are usually in a bit of a dingy sports hall. But this one was, a bit spectacular. So hopefully they have a similar type venue.
It looks like a fairly big setup from what I've seen. So there's a lot of events that are there, because I looked it up on the Google Maps thing. And it looks like it's used a lot for... Yeah. It's a large hall. I know that much. That's as much as I know, to be honest.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'll make sure that I'll behave. So when it's your workshop time, I'll not blow big farts.
Be haggling.
I'll just be on the microphone going,
Cheers. Appreciate that.
You don't want to do his workshop. Go over there. Hitting people. Go and do the hitty sticky thing. Go and do that.
Yeah. I do like doing these things, because it's a nice chance to just hang out with other martial artists. I like martial artists. We're nice people. And chat and just meet people that, like, maybe I've met on Facebook but haven't met face to face, which is always surprising. And nice to catch up with martial artists. So it's usually a good day. And then, like you say, there's lots of these events happening in the UK now.
Yeah.
Which is good, isn't it? Because you can,
it is.
There's a couple up north, there's a couple in Bristol, Bath area, there's this one. So yeah, it's good.
It's good. Yeah, the only thing you say that is I'm sure you've probably had this before, where someone comes, "Oh, hi mate, how are you doing?" And you stood there looking at them going, "Not a clue who you are." And then they suddenly go, "Oh yeah, my name's blah blah blah." And you're like, "Oh yeah, you're the guy on Facebook with a picture of a car as your profile picture." You've never seen them in your life when they're talking to you like they're your best mate, and they're like,
"Oh, well, the problem is, with the online business side of things, yeah. So they watch hours and hours of my videos, right? So it's kind of like they know me."
Yeah.
And then they come and stand in front of you, and they've got a weird look in their eyes. And you're "Oh, okay, what's going on here?" And it's because they know you, but you don't know them. You've never met them before, but they've obviously watched lots of your content. So it is a kind of weird situation, but it's nice. It's like, I've had people come up to me in petrol stations and say, "Are you Mick Master Matt?" Oh. Hilarious. The other day I was playing pool with one of my mates in a pool hall, and literally on the table next to me, this guy goes, "Are you the guy who does all the mitt drills?" And I'm like, "No way." Like, I'm in the middle of a pool hall just drinking beer and playing pool. My mate ripped the piss out of me for the rest of the night. Like, "Oh, Mitt Master Matt, you're so special and everyone knows you are a celebrity." But it's just weird. Like, you get recognized weird places.
That's the good thing about having an audio podcast, is that generally, I've had one where someone said, "Are you the guy that does..." They must have just heard me talking. "You the guy that does the..." I'm like, yeah. He went, yeah, listen. Yeah. And they had a martial arts school somewhere down south. I didn't know them. I didn't know who they were. And they were actually the mum of a committee for the martial arts school. So they weren't even like a football mum, but like a martial arts mum. They didn't even do it themselves. They just listened to the podcasts.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow, that's weird.
I know. It's just how it works, isn't it? But actually, just to bring us back round full circle a little.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
That's all right. If knowing what you know now.
Yes.
Would you have started everything earlier? Would you have made the change from teaching to online only sooner? Would you have said, actually, for 5 years leading up to this, I actually wasn't happy. If I could have jumped sooner, I would have done. Or was it a case of you had to wait? Was the technology starting to be right at that time to open those doors?
I would not have totally sold my school. I would have taken a different role within the school and just had a bit of revenue coming in for the work that I did for the school. Like, my strengths obviously being like marketing and sales and that type of thing. I could have quite easily just run the marketing for the school and taken a bit extra.
You would have done that earlier on in the process.
Yeah.
So you
wouldn't have waited. Yeah. But because we're such control freaks and, you know, martial arts instructors, we find it very difficult to let go. And I should have, let go of it a few years earlier, but I was like, I've been doing this for such a long time and we built it to this point, I'm going to hold on. And that was a mistake. So I would have set up MITMASTER earlier, because I'd had thoughts about, I wonder if anyone would be interested in like learning the pad drills that I like to do. But I kind of thought, like most people do, well, why would anyone want to learn from me? I'm like a nobody. I'm just a guy teaching martial arts in a small club in Essex. So no one's going to want my stuff. So therefore, I kind of, for a couple of years, just didn't take action on it. So I wish I'd started earlier, because I would have been in a stronger position earlier. The business would have been bigger. I could have maybe made better decisions. So, I definitely would have started it earlier, and I wouldn't have necessarily totally exited the martial arts school. Part of that is, I like the vibe of a martial arts school. So if I still was part of one, I could go down, teach your class, go down, hang out with the fighters. I like all the, all the banter that goes on with the fighters. It's fun. It's usually entertaining. So I missed that a lot when I did sell a school. Initially, I was like, hey, I'm free of all the stress of running a school and now I can just make money in my pants. But after about a year or two, I was a bit like, I just missed the joking, the fun, the atmosphere, everyone all working towards a common goal. So this is why I've started teaching one class a week at a friend's school in London, because you're back in that fun environment where everyone's training and focused and, passionate about stuff. So
a few things I
do differently. Yeah.
I mean, I experienced that on a much lesser scale, but every year I look forward to the Christmas holidays. And then every year I look forward to the first class back. And that's only 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't have to do any teaching for a couple of hours. It's going to be amazing. And then like the Sunday or the Monday before we go back, I'm like, oh, I'm going to teaching tomorrow. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
For 20 something years, it's still there. I think the day that stops, I think the day where I look forward to Christmas holidays and then I'm like, oh, I've got to go back tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think that's the point where I'm like, right, we need to do something about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
My outlook on it changes. I'm a pain in the ass. Like a couple of years ago, I was all and I've talked about this before on the podcast, so it's not a secret. I've talked about, all right, I'm going to go all kids. I'm just going to teach kids. I'm just going to focus completely on kids. I prefer teaching kids. I can finish earlier. Now I'm the other way around.
Really?
Yeah. I would much rather teach adult classes.
Yeah.
And the sooner I can pass off teaching kids to somebody else, the better.
That's interesting.
I don't know if it's just a change in me or just a change in, I think it's probably a combination of both.
Yeah.
Societal changes and what, you know, parenting and kids are very different creatures now. In the last 2 years, I've noticed.
Yeah.
And it's more firefighting than actually teaching benefits now, it feels like. Right. I would still want to do the occasional class because I do enjoy it. But, you know, if I could get away with not having to teach 3 or 4 a night, then absolutely.
that's cool. Yeah, I definitely moved away from teaching kids, mainly when I had kids of my own. I used to love teaching kids before I had kids. But then I had kids at home and I had to deal with them being pains in the asses and disciplining them and controlling them and stopping them doing stupid things. And then I'd have to go to work and do exactly the same with other people's kids. And I think it was that double combination of excessive kids that just killed it for me. And yeah, at that point I had got a few people in to take the kids' classes. I was a lot happier just teaching the adults.
Yeah. As I've talked about before, my biggest issue, and it will always be, is delegating. Not necessarily because I'm a control freak, but I tend to worry too much about, well, you know, people are expecting that I should be doing it. And, you know, even when I've let go completely and let other people do it, I've still have that thought. I've still never been able to completely silence that stupid voice inside me. That's, you know, no, people don't expect it to always be me. And they also don't care because they're dropping Billy off and they're buggering off for 45 minutes to come back. So they don't really care what's going on because otherwise they'd be here. Yeah. They'd be here. If they were worried about whether it was me teaching or not, they'd be here, but they're not. So,
a very good point.
I know it's there, but I suppose it's born out of caring, which I don't suppose is a negative.
No.
But it is a bit of a negative from the point of view of me being physically in one piece enough to do my own training when I want to. So I'm sort of delegating a little bit more now. I am.
Good. Yeah, good. Excellent. Well done. That's really cool.
So I'm only doing sort of, you know, even if it's not necessarily passing over the entire class, I maybe only teach 10 minutes out of that session as opposed to the whole thing, you know, which it's baby steps, but I'll get there.
You will definitely. Yeah.
So what have you got? You've got something going on very soon, haven't you? Got an event. I am going to remind you.
Well done. 12th of April, I'm doing a Facebook ads masterclass with 3 other Facebook ads experts who are UK based and martial arts based. So they run Facebook ads for various martial arts schools, agencies, etc.
Yep.
So there's Swapnil, who's like the OG, the first Facebook ads guy who really did well in the UK for martial arts. There's Nikki Pratt, who runs a very successful school and also has a martial arts office and runs Facebook ads for lots of her clients. And there's Donovan Wint as well, who's like the young pretender, the next generation coming up. And he runs an agency as well. So I just thought, like, when I look at all my clients I work with, the thing that they struggle with most is marketing, and specifically like digital marketing, Facebook ads. So I thought, let's organize like a day's training where these 4 experts can come and share their concepts, their tactics, their strategies, and answer questions on all of those. And why not do it for charity as well? So
that's cool.
Going to be for a local children's hospice. It's going to be a whole day of Facebook ads training, April 12th. Maybe if I send you the link, Chris,
you can
get it in the show notes.
I will do that.
It's £50 for the entire day, and you get the recordings and you get some bonuses and extra training materials as well. But I think the main thing is you can spend the day like learning about Facebook ads, but also asking these people who run lots of Facebook ads for lots of martial arts schools.
Yeah.
Your questions, you know, I'm struggling with this, I've got this problem with this. And then we get to raise some money for charity, and it's all good fun as well.
Yeah, and three, four, including yourself, 4 different people with very different approaches.
Yes, that's the point.
That's the cool thing about it.
Has its own strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be like a brain dump of useful content that should, if you apply it, like improve your Facebook marketing, which is going to grow your school. So definitely
it's an interesting. Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, it's for raising money for charity alone, it's a good thing to get involved with. Yeah. So get involved, people. But also, you know, it's a good toe dip. If you're a bit on the fence and you're not so sure, which I understand people are, 50 quid's not, it's neither here nor there to do a day's show.
No, it's not like it's a 500 quid marketing
exactly
weekend. It's 50 quid and you get the recording. So you can go through it afterwards and implement the actions that we recommend.
So whatever you're doing on April the 12th, cancel it now.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, Chris. And
book the course, because I'm saying that because it'll already be in the notes because I've organized it.
Yep.
Get the course booked. Learn Facebook. Learn Facebookery and take over the world.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So, yeah, I thought it'd be just, I like working with other people who know what they're doing. And I also like doing charity stuff. Charity, mate. Don't like
charity. Stay away from the comedy characters. They get you in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Swiss Tony. Yeah. That did not go down well at all.
Making Facebook ads is like making now.
don't do it, dude. I'm having flashbacks. I got a lot of grief about that. So no, I just thought it'd be a nice thing to do, basically.
Yeah, and I think it is too. I think it's too. Well, cool. I think there's been lots of positive spin on what could sometimes be a bit of a tricky time for people with their martial arts. Because there are people out, there are gonna be people out there that'll be listening thinking, oh God, I don't know what I'm going to do in 5 years' time, or I don't know what I'm going to do in 18 months. And hopefully it's provided some clarity for them.
Yeah, I think, like, ideally, set up your business so that it's sellable. That's a key thing, if you want to sell it. Build a team who are passionate and want to progress themselves, so they're motivated, so that you can maybe get them to run the school while you do the specific things in the business that you want to do. So it's like a semi-retirement. Get the family involved, like you might be doing, is another option. But there are ways of exiting. It doesn't have to be just like a big jump, like I did, both feet, I'm out. You can do it over time. You can keep one foot in the door, one foot out the door. But I think you probably need to start thinking about it and start setting things up so that it's possible, because you don't want to get to a certain age and not have the team that you need, or not have the resources that you need, or not have the assets pre-built to make the jump. So yeah, the earlier you start, the better, right? Because the stronger the team is, the better the assets are, the more mature they are. So yeah, start now, start thinking about it now.
I feel another course coming on here.
No.
How to exit your martial arts school.
No, I all I know is about online courses and that type of thing. That's one way, but there's probably better ways.
Cool. Anyway, well, I suppose on that, I'll let you get back to your Shogun series.
Yeah, I'm on episode 3. It's been really good so far. I'm enjoying it.
I watched
the original. That's how old I am. I watched the original back a long time ago. And this, it's really, really good. So if you're into martial arts and, you know, feudal Japan, and you want a bit of a good series you can watch, yeah, check it out.
I will take that under advisement. I will go and give that. I'll go and put it on my save list. And then watch it in about 5 years' time. It's usually what I do.
Yeah, fair it is.
Cool. All right, dude. Well, thanks again, as always. And we'll catch you soon.
Cheers, mate. Bye. Bye.
Brought to you by Martialytics. Easy to use. Super powerful management software for your martial arts school.